Genesis chapter 45. Genesis chapter 45. We're on lesson number 8. Lesson number 8. You sold me, but God sent me. God sent me. With all that happened in Joseph's life, he could have lived every day in misery, but by faith, Joseph saw God's hand in it all. He was able by God's grace to forgive his brothers of the wrong they had done. In Genesis chapter 45, we read about Joseph making himself known to his brethren. He explained to them that they did not need to be troubled. He said, "You sold me, but God sent me. God sent me. It might have been your hands that tossed me in that pit that day, but it's really God's hand placing me in the place he needed me to be." Joseph, as a young man, had had the vision that God was going to do something special in his life. And he never lost that vision. He never lost sight of that. The Lord was going to use him to eventually he would feed the entire world. Would feed the entire world. Everybody would come to him. Genesis 45. You sold me, but God sent me. Two things I'd like to emphasize on today. The first one being, we must remove secondary causes and see the Lord in the circumstances of our lives. We must remove secondary causes and see what the Lord is doing in our life. So often it's so easy to look at what's happening to us and never think, "Lord, what do you want through this? What is it that you're trying to show me? What is it that you want me to do?" Secondly, we need to understand that we have been forgiven by the grace of God and that we need to forgive others. We need to forgive others. I don't see any hint in the scripture record of Joseph not forgiving his brothers. I don't see it. Forgiveness was there. Joseph knew God had a plan for him, and he was going to obey God's will. A young man focused on what God would have for his life. Genesis 45 in verse 5. "Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. You sold me, but God sent me." Joseph knew God had sent him. Joseph knew that. Our memory verse, Ephesians 4:32, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Following along in your lesson, God wants to bring every one of us to a place where we remove all secondary causes and we see him at work in our lives. Removing the secondary causes, the things that are happening, instead of just looking at, "Lord, why is this happening to me?" Actually ask that from an earnest heart, "Lord, why is this happening to me? What do you want? What do you want of me from this?" In spite of all that Joseph went through, and he went through a lot in those over 25 years, he went through quite a bit. But in spite of all that, he knew that God was working in his life. Genesis 45 and verse 1. "Then Joseph could no longer refrain himself from before all them that stood by him, and he cried, 'Cause every man to go out from me.' And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, 'I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?' And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, 'Come near to me, I pray you.' And they came near, And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now, by this time, we've seen initially Joseph as a 17-year-old lad said, God's given me a vision. God is going to use me. You guys, in my vision, you guys bowed down to me, his siblings. Shall we bow down to you, they said. And then the moon and the stars bowed down to him. Shall mom and dad bow down to you? Then God started moving him, sent him out one day to take a lunch to his brothers and see what was going on there. They were jealous of him, jealous of the position that he had, jealous of his dreams. They thought, we're going to kill this guy. They didn't, by the grace of God. They left him alive, decided to sell him to the Ishmaelites. And they threw him in a pit, decided to sell him to the Ishmaelites. God then continued to move him. He was sold. He was bought into a house. He was there for a number of years until the lady of the house made a move for him, and he ran. She lied about him. He wound up in prison. But God had him there in prison. Joseph was a blessing everywhere he went. In prison, he was a blessing. The guy put him in charge of everything. But God was working. God was working. Then Pharaoh had a dream. Couldn't give the interpretation. Nobody knew the interpretation. So the butler, the baker died, right? Butler lived. Said, I know a guy, he's in jail, and he says he can interpret dreams. Joseph came out, he gave God the glory, he said, I can't interpret the dream, but God will give the interpretation of the dream. Gave the interpretation of the dream, and that was that there was going to be plenty, and then for a number of years, and then there was going to be nothing. And that we had better set aside food, or we were going to starve. Pharaoh sets him up. His word was right under Pharaoh's word. He was right up there. Now this is a man out of another nation, been not a native of that country. And he was put over charge of everyone, over charge of everyone. His brothers had run out of food. They'd come there once, they'd gotten food, gone back, came back again for more food. Joseph accusing them of being spies. We see them twice bowing before Joseph as they came, just because of the man Joseph was. And then we see here in our story today, we see that they had bowed the third time. But the third time, it wasn't just a bowing because he was a king. It was a bowing of a broken heart. Judah was a broken man. God had broken these men. These were men that God was going to use to build the mighty nation of Israel. God had to break them, and God broke them. The third time they came before Joseph, they fell down of broken hearts in front of him. Broken men willing to humble themselves before a mighty God. They said, God has seen us. God didn't forget what we did to Joseph. That's why we're in this trouble. And they realized God was working. They were broken men in our story today. When Joseph saw that Judah was a broken man, he could not refrain himself. He had caused all others to go out, and he made himself known to his brethren. He explained to them, do not be troubled because you sold me into Egypt. God was working. You sold me, but God sent me. This isn't just a word that he was saying, oh, I know the Lord was working. No, he knew that the Lord had a plan. He knew the Lord had a purpose, and he was trusting that purpose. Joseph saw that it was really God who allowed him to be sold and to be placed in Potiphar's house. He saw God's hand in it all. Joseph truly forgave his brothers. He forgave them. When he revealed himself, come here, you guys, I want to hug you. What's been going on? Let me tell you what's been going on. Total forgiveness. Notice, I remember you. I remember the day you threw me in that pit. Now, I'm the big guy. And I'm going to throw you in a pit. No. Total forgiveness. Total forgiveness. Forgiveness brings peace. It brings peace. Joseph truly forgave his brothers for the sin that they had committed against him. He did not live his life with bitterness in his heart. You may ask, how was he able to forgive? The Lord enabled him to forgive because he saw by faith that God was in every circumstance. I didn't put my watch on. Sitting on the dresser. Turn with me to the book of Jonah. Joseph, we see, was a good example of forgiveness. The book of Jonah. In the Old Testament, it's about six books up from the New Testament. Or seven or eight, I'm not sure. Jonah's sin was... But tell me. What was Jonah's sin? Right. God said to do what? Go preach. Did he go? No. Jonah's sin was disobedience. But what precipitated the disobedience? What was it? If God told you... Brother Steve, I want you to fill in for a pastor tonight. You're going to go and you're going to preach and those people are going to repent. Man, Lord, I want to go do that. That'd be great. Jonah didn't want to do that. Why? Why? Fear? He's afraid they wouldn't repent. And why was he afraid of that? He hated those people. The Jews hated those people. The Assyrians were a wicked conquering. When they conquered you, it was terrible. It was terrible. They didn't just leave you in your land or whatever. They'd take a lot of you out of your land, and they'd scatter you everywhere, and then they'd come into your land, and it was terrible. And the Jews hated the Assyrians. To this day, there are Christians that will not go to the Assyrians. There are Christians that will not take the gospel message to the Muslims. They won't do it because they hate them. They hate them. Jonah's problem before the disobedience was a problem of forgiveness. A problem that Jonah could not forgive. That's what his problem was before the disobedience came. I mean, Jonah's not a bad guy. He's a guy that was willing to go. I mean, he finally went. The second time he went, and he preached just as God told him to. So he's not a terrible guy, but unforgiveness had come into his life. Unforgiveness had come into his life, and it was eating him up to the point where he didn't want to go because he knew if he preached repentance and they repented that God would forgive him. And he wanted them to die. He hated them. They were a vicious enemy. Years earlier, the Jews had been conquered. And I'm sure even though it had been, some 140 years since the conquering, it wasn't actually the carrying away, but it was in part a carrying away. And it had been some time, but they hated them. They hated them. These weren't lovely people. These Assyrians, they weren't people you took home to lunch. You know what I'm saying? In our day and age today, if you burn a Quran, people across the world will kill other people because you did. You burn a Bible, and I'm going to pray for you. I'm not going to hate you. I'm not going to burn your house. I'm not going to hate your family. I'm not going to hate anybody white all across the world because you burned my Bible. But yet we had some preacher, I don't know what he was thinking, why you would do that. I don't know where he came from. But he did it nonetheless, and you see it in the newspapers, and it caused a lot of problems. Secretary of State under Mr. Bush was, what's his name? Baker, was it Baker? When he stood before the cameras one day, and he said, please understand the difference between Islam and Christianity. Islam is a religion where Allah sends your sons to die for him. He said Christianity is a faith in which God sent his son to die for you. Wow. Wow. On national television, right up next to the president, a guy pretty far up there, pretty high. A religion where Allah sends your sons to die for him. Christianity is a faith in which God sent his son to die for you. That's the difference. Do we forgive the Muslims? Yes. Do we forgive everyone? Yes. Is there unforgiveness in your life? Is there unforgiveness in my life? Mama bears, moms with kids, somebody do something to your kids, you better be careful. Because Mama Bear is there. You better be careful. But Mama Bears have to forgive too. They have to forgive. Because if you don't forgive, it eats you up like it ate up Jonah, to the point where he didn't even want to preach the gospel to someone. The Muslims, we heard Kathy say about the Muslim girl at the store, and she gave her a gospel tract. That's the gospel. It's the gospel of love. We don't preach a gospel of hate. We preach a gospel of love. It is a gospel of love. And everybody says, well, you preach a gospel, you preach about hell. Yeah, there is a real hell. That's why we preach the gospel, so that people don't have to go there. Our God is a God of love. We are to be a people of love. Our God is a God of forgiveness. We are to be a people of forgiveness. Unforgiveness will make us bitter. It'll make us bitter. Obviously, forgiveness will make us better. Jonah, I'm going to get a typewriter one of these days and I'll be able to read my writing. Had to remove secondary causes. We remove secondary causes when we realize that God is at work. When we realize God is at work. We remove the secondary causes and we see what God wanted us to do. Jonah 1:15. So they took up Jonah and they cast him into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. The mariner is there. Finally, they tried to save the man's life. But he said, you know, I'm running from the Lord, and the only way this sea is going to calm is for you to toss me in. And they tried not to, but they had to. Go to chapter 2 and verse 3. Now it's cast me into the deep. Who's Jonah talking to here? He's talking to the Lord. Thou hast cast me into the deep. Not the mariners. They didn't throw me in. He had removed secondary causes. He knew why he got tossed in. God tossed him in because he wasn't obedient and he wasn't forgiving. God tossed him in. Chapter 4, verse 2. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled from before unto Tarsus, for I knew that thou art a gracious God. A gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. And repentest thee of the evil. God was going to destroy that land if they did not repent. Jonah went and preached, and they repented. Was Jonah happy for that? No, he wasn't. Man, that's hard to believe. Unforgiveness in our lives will make us do things that we ought not to do. Unforgiveness. Jonah should have forgiven. Unforgiveness had made him bitter. He did not love his enemy as we are commanded. We need to see God's hand at work in all things. We need to see God's hand at work in all things. Page 34 in your lesson. The principle of forgiveness, Ephesians 4:32. The principle of forgiveness, Ephesians 4:32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Joseph knew what it meant to forgive. Do we? The great principle of forgiveness is found here in Ephesians 32. You may not think that someone deserves your forgiveness. But the truth is that none of us deserve to be forgiven. None of us deserve it. It's what Christ did for us because he loved us. None of us deserve it. We've been forgiven for Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. We've been forgiven. We do not merit our forgiveness. God forgave us because Christ paid for our sin debt. There's a principle here that we are to forgive others. Why? Because we have been forgiven by God. Not because they deserve it, not because they ask for it. Forgiveness comes before they even ask. Christ died for our sins before we were ever born. Christ died for our sins. What does it mean to forgive? To forgive meant that Joseph was willing to treat his brothers as if they had never done anything wrong to him. He was willing to live his life as if the brothers had never sinned against him. This is what it means to forgive someone. Secondly, the principle put to practice. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 21 and 22. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven, the forgiveness was to come. That's Matthew 18, 21 and 22. Christ talked with Peter about forgiveness in Matthew 18. Peter asked, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? The Lord answered, until 70 times seven. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Every time the guy comes, you're forgiving. You're forgiving. Christ forgave us. We ought to forgive others. He did not mean that you should only forgive 490 times. The principle of forgiveness was to put to practice meant that you never come to the place where you are unwilling to forgive. You always forgive. We always forgive. Unforgiveness will destroy us. Joseph could have hated every day of his life. With all the things that had happened to him, he could have been miserable if he had not practiced the principle of forgiveness. Is there unforgiveness in your life? If there is, deal with it. Deal with it if you want to live a victorious Christian life. Deal with it if you want to walk in the Spirit, if you want to walk in power. Deal with it. Do you pray for the other guy? Yeah, you do. Who do you pray for most? Lord, change my heart. Change my heart. We pray, Lord, change me. Change me, Lord. Bitterness will stop the blessing of God in our lives. Jonah found that out. Jonah found out from just a little gourd that was giving him some shade there. As he was watching, hoping that town would be destroyed, but knowing that God was going to forgive them. The power to forgive. Where does the power to forgive come from? It is not our power. We find this power in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is able. Christ died for our sins before we were ever born. We forgive before they ever ask. Before they ever ask, we forgive. you're a Christian and you cannot forgive, the reason you cannot forgive is that you are not abiding in Christ. You're not abiding in Christ. John 15. Turn me to John 15. Maybe when you get home, read down through verses 17. John 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is a husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. The Lord works on us to bring forth more fruit. Fruit of forgiveness. Fruit of love, true love. If we allow the Lord to work in our lives through his Holy Spirit, and through his word, those fruits will grow. We are the branches, Christ is the vine, God is the husbandman. We forgive, why? Because the vine forgave us. That's why we forgive, not because others deserve it. The branch only brings forth what the vine produces. The power to love and forgive others only comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our source. He is the vine, we are the branches. As Christians, we can have a spiritual relationship with God that enables us to deal with people in a Christ-like way. Christ has demonstrated to us what it truly means to be forgiven. It is only in him that we find strength to forgive. It is only in him. Jonah let his hatred of his enemy affect his walk with the Lord. Then he didn't love. Two things. Looking to the secondary cause. Looking through and seeing what God has. It's hard to do. It's hard because you're right there. Everything is right there. And you think, it's hard. But we've got to look at, Lord, what is it that you want in this? What do you want of me in this? Then secondly, forgiveness. You hear stories of Jonah, you hear of disobedience. Something came before the disobedience, and it was unforgiveness. Father in heaven, we're thankful for your word. Lord, we're thankful that it's alive, and every time we open it, it's fresh, it's new to us. Lord, might we abide in you. As John chapter 15, we see that phrase so many times, abide in Christ. Lord, we pray that you would help us to abide in you, Lord, that we'd walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Lord, help us to hold up our brothers. Help us to be a blessing to each other. Pray for our pastor once again. We pray for the brother that's going to be preaching. Lord, fill him with your Spirit, with your word. We ask that you'd work in every heart here today. Lord, might you use us to glorify your Son. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you very much for coming.